gives a kind of like talks.
Okay, so we're doing the Bedika, right? Pesach, Bedika, Bedikas Chametz. The Rambam is exception that you do Bedika, you make the bracha before Bedika, but you say Al because you already filled the mitzvah when in your heart you had a conclusive das, conclusive mindset, intent to knock out the Mivatel, to negate all your Chametz. So, therefore, you say, ah. The problem is, yeah, but you're making the bracha on the bedika, you're not making it on the das, the mindset, the intent. Right? You don't make a bracha on, you make a bracha on bedika. So, that's in the future. And also, it just doesn't seem to be, when we looked at the halachos by Pesach, it didn't seem to be the stage that you're just internally doing it, because the Rambam says openly that you do the vittel after you do the bedika. Right after you search, you say all the chametz that I have is negated. So what stage? I mean, that stage is missing, at least in the, at least explicitly, it's missing from the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah. So what exactly is he referring to? Something like this is that let's see that the deraisa, the mitzvah deraisa is that you have to sever your tie. Break your relationship to chametz, and that's really an internal process, right? As Ram says, to consider it like dust, okay, internally. And therefore, in Torah, the second you do that, you fulfill the mitzvah, okay, and that's it. There's nothing more to do. What the Rabbanon said is that the severance process should not merely take place in your head, but that you should actualize it in the physical world. You should sever yourself from it concretely, physically. Because a person's head is subject to variation of degree, irresolute, right? And to leave it like that, although it's true, if a person really does that, then he's fine. But if he does not really do that, if he has a piece of bread on his table, which he really is very happy about, so then he's going to violate this or deraisa, bonin chametz on Pesach. So the Rabbanon said is, don't suffice with an internal removal from the chametz, but concrete to carry through your removal to the physical, actual concrete. Okay, so it's like a furtherance of the deraisa. The deraisa is for you to break your relationship to it. What they're saying is break this relationship in the actual physical sense, not just purely internally. Okay, so far so good. Now, the thing is like this, is that when you do bedika, you are furthering your internal removal from the thing. It's like, what are you doing with bedika? You're saying is, okay, I'm going to search out and destroy all the chametz in my house. So that premises a severance, an internal severance from the thing, right? That's what you're doing. I'm searching it out to destroy. So obviously that means in my head I've already dissociated myself from the thing. So it's like when I decide to do bedika, I've already removed myself from the thing internally, and I'm furthering that removal and actualizing it in physical terms. Okay, so but the premise of bedika is that I've already internally, I don't have to do anything. See, I don't have to say anything. But the very action of searching out the chametz
reveals
a underlying preceding intent of removal from the thing. Right? I don't search it out to destroy it before I've removed myself. It's the action indicates an internal attitude towards the chametz. I've removed myself from it, and now I'm merely actualizing that removal in the physical world. So and I fulfill the mitzvah. So the second I do the Rabbanon of bedika is really, it's like a furtherance of the deraisa which I've already accomplished. Okay, it's like in doing bedika, it's like the starting bedika is simultaneously fulfilling the deraisa and begin extending the deraisa through the Rabbanon of searching it out. Okay, so the doing the bedika, when you're starting the bedika itself is already implying the fulfillment of the deraisa. Okay, and it's but you're furthering that deraisa. So the removal lends itself to a further removal.
Which deraisa?
Of bittel. Hashbasa, yes, the derisa of hashbasa, which means a cessation, a removal of your mind from the subject, cessation, breaking of your relationship. So the second, that's what he says. The second you conclude to do biur, shemeishan gav liba levatel nazmin sabir kodesh yivdok. This is the moment you conclude to negate it. You fulfilled the mitzvah beer before you did the bedika. How do you know before you did the bedika? Maybe you don't decide to do beer bittel till afterwards. No, but I'm saying is that that's what bedika is. Bedika is physically removing the stuff which you've broken your relationship to. I've already broken my relationship to it. It is the actualization of that which is internal. So it's premised upon that internal separation from the thing. And therefore, when I'm about to make the bracha on the bedika, I'm ready, I'm about to act on the bedika, so that means I've already, in my mind, separated from myself from it, and now I'm about to do this thing. So now, I've already fulfilled the mitzvah of the biur. Okay, I've already fulfilled the mitzvah of the biur. Okay, I haven't answered the question yet, okay. But, okay. So now, I mean, there are a few problems. So therefore what? I mean, there's a few, why are you doing a bittel after problem? But let's leave that problem for a second.
Can I ask you a separate question?
Okay, so now like this, is that, So the bracha is on the bedika, because the bedika is the action. See, but the bedika does not exist in its own right. It's not like an independent institution, but it is the furtherance of the removal, the hashpasa, of the person's removal from the chametz. Okay, and it's the completion of that which already began. Okay, with that which began with the internal removal, which before the bedika. Okay, now the bedika is acting out that which already began. So therefore, in the shevach, and that's why the text of the bracha is al biur chametz, on removal. That's why is it on bedika chametz? Because bedika is not, it's not a mitzvah to search out, the mitzvah is removing. It's just that bedika is a form of removing. You can remove it internally in your head, or you could remove it, you could actualize that internal removal through a physical process of searching it out and removing it. But the idea of the thing you're involved, the real mitzvah is biur, and this is just the removal, and this is a form of the fullest extent of the removal. Okay, so the bracha is really going on the entire mitzvah of biur. It's shavach, about the entire mitzvah of removal, which this is the part which I'm making a bracha on, because this is only action, and a bracha has to be on an action. But the shavach relates not only to the action, but it relates to the institution of the mitzvah, which is one whole mitzvah. And it relates to the internal removal, the deraisa, the removal, and the actualization of that removal. So therefore, you don't want to say a praise, a shevach, which applies only to the future, because the bracha, the mitzvah which you're doing, is really past and future. Okay, it's both. So therefore, you have to say al on the institution. See, that's the point. Bedika does not exist in a vacuum. It's not its own action. But it is the furtherance of that which already existed. So therefore, the shevach is really on the... Therefore, you say al, and that's why it's not like a lulav. See, because in lulav you're really making the bracha on the past. Okay, it's on an action in the past after you picked it up. Here, the bracha is directly on the maisa, on the mitzvah. But it's just that since this mitzvah is a furtherance of that which existed in the past, you want the shevach praise to relate to both of them. So therefore, you say al. Now, it could be that the Rambam did is he separated them with a middle case, because he wanted to show you that they're not to group these two together, because they're not exactly the same. And one of them is like the Shevach is on an action of the past, the other one is on an action of the future, which is conceptually linked with the past. So they're similar, but they're not. At first glance, if you would have put them together, you would have thought you would have grouped them together as if they're both the same thing, you know, that they're both going on in the past. They're different. They're similar, and they're both based upon the implication of the future, but it doesn't quite fit the principle. So that's why he put this other exception about the implication of, you know, of obligation in the middle, so that you draw your attention that they're really different. They're different. They're close, but they're different. You know what I mean? Now, a question, there's another question to take up. Is there a question on this? So the other question is that if this is true, that really, internally, you've already removed yourself from it before you did the bedika, so why, after you do bedika, do you have to do betel? After you do bedika, you have to say, all chametz which I don't know about, I'm removing myself from it, right? That's what he's saying. So, but what do you mean? Isn't that what you already did? Isn't there an underlying assumption of that? So what are you accomplishing? You already did it. And the Rambam says that, on the contrary, if you don't do that, you don't do Bittul, then, and then you happen to find something and you want it, so then you're going to violate Vayavayi Matzei, owning Chametz on Pesach. But if you do say the Bittul explicitly, then even if you find something, you're not going to violate, because you already did the Bittul, you already removed yourself from it. So it seems from the Rambam that the real Bittul is what you state after the Bedika. But what value does it, what does that have? If the Rambam's saying is that there's an implicit Bittul which takes place in doing the Bedika. Okay, good. So I guess we're in the other problem from yesterday. Is that why does the Rambam say that if you find it and you want it, then you're going to violate? If you didn't do Bittul. If you find it and you want, then you're going to violate from that. But what do you mean? But why say then if you find it and you want, then you violate it retroactively? Doesn't sound that way. It sounds like that's, or until you find it, then that's it. You apparently have comments in your house. No, so I think you guys are saying good. I mean, I really kind of saying that there's a difference between an implicit das, an implicit mindset that goes along with the action of bedika, searching, and an explicit statement of removal from the comments. Okay. Again, what we're saying is that, the Rambam is saying is that when you do bedika, that indicates an underlying removal from chametz. Okay, it indicates an underlying removal from chametz, and that it indicates an attitude of removal. Now, does that mean that he is removed from every single piece of chametz that's in the world, like in his house, let's say? I mean, maybe there's a good one that he's really excited about. So it's true he's searching it out. And see, that indicates an overall attitude. You're not going to assume, and without having any reason to say otherwise, you'd assume that he has a general attitude towards chametz, and that's an attitude of removal from all chametz. But then, if he finds something and is excited about it, so that indicates, and that so to speak separates out this piece of chametz from that implicit mindset, and removes it from that mindset. As it says, it was like a reflection. The whole idea of the bedika is like a giloy das. It reveals, as a Ken saying, it reveals what your mindset is about. It was about that stuff. But here, when you find the thing and you like it, so then it will turn out. So apparently this was not partake of that implicit das. The das was general that you were doing bedika, but you never fully parted with this particular piece of this whatever. You're fully parted with it. And therefore, it's at that moment, and it was until that moment, then your das is generic and it's on everything. But once that moment comes and you then assert your das, it turns out that renders it a violation of ayara, of owning the chametz. But if you make it explicit, if you make an explicit statement, which is all chametz that's in my house, in my rishos, that I don't know about, even if I don't know about, I am negating, and it's like thus. Now it's not just like an assumption that your mind is on from your bedika, but you've explicitly thought through and stated every single thing is negated, and therefore you've removed yourself from everything on Pesach. And then when you see the thing on Pesach, it's too late. I mean, that's the difference again on Pesach. You can't acquire chametz in the middle of Pesach. It's not the only way it would work is if you could, so to speak, reveal that you never really had your mind on that. But like once Pesach comes and you're removed from the chametz, then it's already too late. You've already totally removed yourself from the thing, and it's like nothing.
You
and
can't
then
buy
no, because it doesn't have value.
Oh well.
It's also around it doesn't have value. I mean, it's a whole thing about. I mean, it's a whole question, but or maybe you could buy it. It's not so simple. I mean, you can't just acquire by wanting it. I mean, you have maybe if you do some sort of an action or whatever, but it doesn't really have value, because halachically it doesn't have value, because it's asurana, and it's not like if you married a woman with it on Pesach, it wouldn't work. It doesn't have any value. It's asurana, but it didn't benefit. But I mean, it's a whole area. I mean, I don't really want to get into. I have to go through the sugya. I'm not in the sugya. But I'm saying like it's different. The difference is when you explicitly do it, though, then the thing is negated. But when you don't do it explicitly, and it's just through the bedika, which is an indication of your das, so then if later you show that you show that you really have an affinity for this particular thing, so that indicates and it separates out the thing. And it could be you would be in violation retroactively, but only if you want it. If you don't want it, if you find it, it's a big deal. I already did a bit on it, then it's no problem. It's not because you may find something, it's because you may find something and want it. Because if you don't want it, then you already removed yourself from it, so who cares that you find it? So it could be that's why you do the bit, that's why you do the bit afterwards. That's why the Rabban said that you don't just do the bidika. Because, look, if you never find anything, then you'll be fine, just the bidika. The bidika is an implicit bitl, implicit negation. But that's a generic negation. It's a generic negation which is indicated through your bidika. And it's true, you fill the mitzvah, deraisa. You don't assume at that moment that maybe there's something else that I'm going to find. So you already fill the mitzvah. And deraisa, you filled it at that point. But yeah, but you fulfilled it in a way that lends itself to being undone if you find something and you want it. And therefore the Rabbanan set up that you shouldn't rely on that, but you should do bitl also and make explicitly on everything, and therefore you'll never be able to, you won't undo it. It's already been on everything, and you already negated everything explicitly. Okay, so I guess the next problems we'll take up is, first of all, the lulav question. Daniel, so you mentioned yesterday, I think, is that how is it that by lulav... Like lulav, he says, sets down a principle that when you do a mitzvah, a bracha, after you do the mitzvah, so then you have to say al, because it's on the past. Okay, fine. So you have to say al, because it's on the past. So the problem is remember, we looked at in Perek Yud Aleph, then Halachos Hey and Vav, the Ram says is that if you do a mitzvah, and you didn't make a bracha on it, the question is, can you still make a bracha, or is it too late? He says, depends. If it's a mitzvah which is still ongoing, so then you can still make a bracha. Okay, if it's a mitzvah which is over, you can't make a bracha. So, well, for instance, if it's like tefillin, or tzitzis, or sitting in the sukkah, where it's still ongoing, so then you make a bracha, you can still make a bracha. And what bracha do you say? Leh! He explicitly says, Lehaniach tefillin, lehisate patzitzis, lehishe basukah. Okay, so again, the bracha is still ongoing, even though you already did it. You already put on the tefillin, you already put on the tzitzis, you already ate in the sukkah. But still, you say leh, which is a problem, because he set up a rule that you say al, if it's afterwards, right? Okay, so it's part of the problem, right? It's against his rule. And then he says, and if it's a mitzvah which is over, like let's say shchita, or going in the mikvah, it's history, once you do the action, it's all over. So then you say, then you can't say bracha anymore. Then you can't say the bracha anymore because it's history, it's too late. So the question is, which one is lulav like? If lulav is like the ones which keep on going, like the lulav, the tefillin, and the tzitzis, then you should say, leh. Which for whatever reason you said leh by those. So you should say leh by this. Still going, somehow it's right. And or you'll tell me, no, you can't say it because it's over. So it's over, you shouldn't be able to say any bracha. It's too late. It's history. Right? So that's a problem. Like, how does this fit in exactly? How does it jive with those brachas? Yeah, and another question, maybe just to keep things a little simpler. Another question is, this Rabbi Zucker has a share about. But I have a different answer than he has. But the problem is, according to the Rambam, the Ravid asked this question. What bracha should you make on eating matzah and eating marah? Leh. Because you're doing it before. You're doing it for yourself. Right, it's a chiyuv, absolute obligation. Right, why not? Right, so you say leh, but he doesn't. He says al. What? Everyone. He says al, yeah. I mean, well, not everyone. The Ron presumably didn't. But depending, but right, we did this. You knew about this if you know.
Oh, yeah,
so. Yeah, right, but whatever. So that's a problem. Why, according to the Rambam, do you say al-chilas matzah, al-chilas marah? Right? I mean, it seems maybe the Ravid would say leh. I mean, it's a good question. Why al? Right? Why al? Okay, so that's just a dumb question. I mean, there are more questions, but I think these are two questions to keep us busy for, next week. Right?